Welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
Religious holidays offer an opportunity for the flesh to exhibit a bit of pomp and pageantry as it seeks to mix the precious and the vile. Man's carnal religion is never acceptable in the sight of God, and all fleshly celebrations masquerading as spiritual endeavors are but manifestations of condemnation and revelations of the extent of darkness which the participants dwell in. And he said unto them, Ye are they which justify yourselves before men. But God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. This is exactly the same thing which the Lord said to the woman at the well when she asked him about proper religious observances. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Just the other day, I read a marquee in front of a meeting house which said, Jesus died for everyone. I'm sure that the average person steeped in the religious culture of our area never gave a moment's thought as to whether or not that message was true or false, as they read it in passing by. I'm also fairly confident that the person who decided to place that message on that marquee did so because they sincerely believed it to be true. I'm also fairly certain that they probably have never considered how blatantly erroneous such a statement is in light of what the Scripture plainly reveals about the purpose of the finished work of Christ. The message of a God who loves everyone the same and is just busy trying to do good for all that will let him help them is a very appealing message to the flesh. In fact, it is so appealing that little thought is ever given to any other scenario by those who find great delight in carnal religious dogma. It gives the flesh comfort to think on a God who would do so much to gain the love and friendship of a creation gone awry. Not to mention the fact that they consider man to be a noble and splendid creature as to be worthy of such aid gained by the exercise of his free will. Yet the Scripture plainly indicates that there is absolutely nothing good in men, and that the supposed free will of men is actually in total bondage to sin. It is also abundantly clear that the love of God is a particular and exclusive love, which is visited upon the objects of his choosing and withheld from those who are not. The damnation of the reprobate is as much a part of the purpose of God as is his determination to redeem that people whom he has chosen before the foundation of the world as his elect bride. Those who embrace the religion of the flesh recoil in horror at the very thought that God even has the right to determine the destiny of his creation, let alone would actually do so without consulting them. There is no more hated doctrine in that camp than that which declares that the redemption, which was finished by Christ, is exclusively accomplished for an elect people. The statement Jesus died for everyone cannot be true unless one of two things is true. Either we conclude that all men are saved, or we conclude that Christ only made salvation a possibility by his death, and in reality saved no one by his effort. We are certain that all men are not saved because the Lord Jesus plainly declared that all men were not his sheep, and that some have the devil for their father. He says he does not know them. The writer of Hebrews plainly states that Christ has obtained eternal redemption for those for whom he shed his precious blood. Even as the angel told Joseph, Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. There is no mention in the Scripture of an atonement that does not atone, a justifier which does not justify, nor a Savior which does not save. He is the sanctifier and the sanctification of all those for whom he has entered in once into the holy place with his own blood. The redemption of the Lord's people is not a cooperative effort, nor does it somehow become effective when they believe it. Those who are redeemed by his blood are redeemed by his blood. Their justification does not depend on what they do or do not do, but rather is completely based on what he has done in their behalf. What they could not do, he has accomplished for them. He has become sin for them that they might be made the righteousness of God in him. There can be no true gospel preached where the work of Christ is presented as less than the complete salvation of those for whom he died. There is no mixture of the profane and the sacred in the proclamation of the finished work of Christ. There is no place for men to glory in having been made the recipients of his grace and the objects of his favor.
If you would like a free transcript of this broadcast, email us at forthepoor@windstream.net.